Sir, if you please rise in the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Bring it on.
All right, we'll call the meeting to order. Happy New Year, everyone. Trustee Harris?
Here.
Trustee Genrich?
Here.
Trustee Raptor?
Here.
Trustee Van Oven is here. Trustee Dart?
Here.
Trustee Gass?
Here.
Trustee Dennis?
Here.
Are there any recommended modifications to the agenda this evening? Is there anyone visiting who'd like to see an item moved up or down? Do you know where you are?
Is it the baseball?
Yeah.
Where are we here?
Number 8, is it?
Yes.
Title Town Select.
Title Town Select.
Title Town Select. Is that where you're from?
That's where I'm from.
You'd like that moved up so you don't have to
please.
Wait?
Okay.
Anyone else who'd like to see an item moved up or down on the agenda? Okay, I will make a suggested modification or make a motion that we adopt the agenda by as submitted, but moving item 8 to item 4B. Is there a second? Trustee Harris, seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries. Announcements.
Do you want to do, Brad, do you want to do the visioning?
Oh, I can do that. We do have some visioning sessions set up on January 10th. On January 10th, this coming Saturday, it's going to be set up as the 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock, or at 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock. And then on the 13th, it will be at 6:30 here at the Village Hall. All meetings are at the Village Hall. The 17th will be the same format as the 10th, And the 20th is going to, we're going to wrap up the meeting here at the regular Village Board meeting. And basically what we're looking for is having our residents help us define what the vision and moving forward within the village. So it's an opportune time for residents to come in and help guide us through some changing times. And we'll run in concurrence with our corridor study, so it's important that we get as many residents out to join us as possible.
So to reiterate, the 9 to 11 is actually 9 to 10, and then the same exact process from 10 to 11 on both those Saturdays. There will be some time for input during the board deliberations on the 13th and 20th as well. So the public will be able to give some input on those days if they can't make it on the 10th and 17th. But the 10th and the 17th are a specific process that our consultant is going to walk us through. So it would be, if the public, if you can make it on the 10th or the 17th for one of those 4 hours, please do so. Spain, do you want to give the list of candidates?
Okay. First of all, we did have a notification of non-candidacy from Trustee Randy Gast. He will not be on the April ballot. We do have 5 candidates that have turned in their declaration of candidacy, campaign registration statements, and nomination papers. And those are Trustee Jim Genrich, Trustee Penny Dart. We also have Al Martins, Lynn Green, and Rob Atwood.
Nice slate. Thank you.
And the third notice is Recognition Week, January 12th through the through the 16th. If you see your adult crossing guards, tell them thank you. And the
EO.
I just wanted to mention that we'll be having a public safety meeting here in the boardroom tomorrow night at 7 p.m. and we'll be having a presentation from Robert on the ballot spot. So anybody can welcome to attend.
Thank you.
Just one last announcement. There's going to be a new magazine that's going to be, the first publication will be in February. It's called Alloy Neighbors. I think we spoke a little bit about this a while back, in August. Everything's been put together, so the first issue will be mailed to all the residents in February. So, look forward to seeing that.
Thank you. Related to the bomb squad, I had a note under announcements for myself. I'd like the Public Works Committee and the Safety Committee to begin to discuss our disaster plan. The last time that I've had exposure to that was probably 6 or 7 years ago, and I started going through my notes to make sure that, and I think we need to revisit it as a village, especially after the merger of the fire department. I'm not sure exactly who would be responsible for that, but I think the fire department is probably the first place that we should start. When I was brought through the plan and the training, it was by the fire chief at the time. So I think it behooves us to sort of get our ducks in a row with regard to a disaster plan.
I do have a meeting set up next week with Assistant Chief Knapp, so we can talk about that as well.
Great. Thank you. Any other announcements? Hearing none, we'll move on to... Oh, I'm sorry, Chris.
One more announcement. We found out today the village has an opportunity to get some Christmas decorations, used Christmas decorations from downtown Green Bay organization. They're the used ones that they used to put up. There's about a little over 100 of them at no cost. They're willing to give those to us at no cost. There would be some other costs associated with that as far as deciding where we would want to put them, on what poles, what streets, and then we'd have to have a cost of hooking up the electrical outlets to those poles, and then we'd probably want to refurbish some of these decorations with energy efficient LED lighting, things like that. But brand new, these type of decorations cost anywhere between $500 and $1,000 a piece.
Ooh.
So I think it behooves us to look into go ahead and accepting these and utilizing them as we can and as we can budget to start putting them up along the streets.
Absolutely. I mean, the corridor is striking someplace as the corridor study sort of rolls out that when it's all said and done, it would be a really nice place to...
Exactly. That's what we were thinking as well.
Do you have a picture?
I do.
Can you just show us?
This is from the city of Green Bay or from downtown Green Bay?
Downtown Green Bay.
Inc.?
Yes.
Oh. Well, thank Jeff Merkus for it. Very generous.
Is there an issue with storage space for 50 to 100?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
I think that we would, these can be stored in a cold storage space. They don't have to be in heated at all. And, you typically hang them along the wall.
Great. Thank you, Chris.
Very good.
Any other announcements? And again, please pass along our thank you to Jeff and Downtown Green Bay Inc. All right. Item 4, public appearances. Is there anyone who'd like to speak this evening? Yes, sir.
Related.
You know what? We can open it up when that item comes up. That's actually going to be next. Hearing none, we'll move on to old item 8, action regarding the field reservation and picnic license for Titletown Select Baseball. Unless there are objections, we'll suspend the rules and listen to our petitioner. Please, yes.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Nate Longfang. I'm the Chief Operating Officer for Titletown Select Baseball Incorporated. We started about 2 years ago, and our mission essentially is to provide experiences for youth in the Northeast Wisconsin area at a travel baseball level, something more competitive and exposure-like, to garner experiences and opportunities for college and beyond, as well as generating good young gentlemen along the way. We are doing this from a not-for-profit standpoint. Last year we did start with one team. This year we may have up to four teams, and it is primarily travel baseball. It is not a league, but we do practice and such, and what it is to be a adjunct to league play and also to the local high schools in developing players that maybe necessarily aren't being challenged enough, if you will. The reason I stand before you today is we're looking to do a kickball tournament as a fundraiser, and that would be in the early portion of May. That would require us to reserve a substantial part. Riverview would be able to incorporate that for us, and we are looking to have 32 teams at that tournament. It is very possible this could be a substantial fundraiser for us, and in order for us to keep our costs low, we have to look at utilizing these types of things in order to go back into the program. Our board encompasses 10 individuals of people who have a profession themselves, and we do not get paid for this. Everything we make goes back into the program to benefit the boys. The money would be utilized more or less to continue to decrease our cost, as well as to provide off-season workout areas. The beautiful weather that we have now is not conducive to the outside, and more than a third of our budget requires us to rent indoor space. So for us to continue development, we need to have opportunities like this. One of the things I did want to put forward to you is that we did request a liquor license as well. It will be our intention to sell beer at this event, as it will be an adult-only event. But we are looking to utilize that, again, for fundraising aspects. Now, given with that, we have a connection with NWTC and the police science department over there. We were going to sequester some students as volunteers for crowd control if it's necessary. I don't anticipate that getting out of hand, but one of the things we want to do is be proactive about being good stewards of the community. So that's why I came today to let you know that these are the things that we're doing for the Village of Alloway and want to develop that relationship with the Village.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Brad, I know there's no history with this organization, but with other organizations doing similar fundraisers, do we have examples of...
Current has been running a kickball tournament down there the last 3 years, I believe, at least 3 years.
Are they serving alcohol?
Yes.
Okay. No problems with things getting, fields getting torn up? And okay. Any...
Petty pup.
Yeah. Any questions for the petitioner? We'll take up the rules. Yes.
This would be the first time you'd be hosting an event like this, correct?
That is correct, and if it all goes well, we would look to repeat, you know, and maybe more opportunities for other fundraisers within the Village of Alloway later on.
I just, what kind of plan would be in place? Are you going to use wristbands, or what type of thing are you going to use to designate whether or not someone can be having alcohol?
Yep, we would look to use wristbands, and they would have to be showing their ID, probably more than once even during the event. We are going to be very cautious about that approach.
With it being a first-time event, I want to make sure that that's something that's in the forefront.
And starting this process early with the planning of it, that we know that there is substantial liability with the sale of alcohol. For that very reason, we have said that nobody under 18 is going to be allowed at the event except for our own players, which are necessary for the fundraising aspect. But beyond that, you know, we do plan on, and that would be one of the reasons why we're going to use the police science students to help assist with that process. It's going to all be funneled to one particular location, so it's not going to be a haphazard process of how they can obtain the wristbands.
Thank you.
Brad, how do they do it with the other tournament?
The other tournament, I don't think they did wristbands. And typically, the only ones that are there are the participants. You don't get spectators,
right.
Typically. So they have nowhere near the number of teams as what they're hoping to get. So.
And you've been working with Chris on this, too? Okay. Chris, you have experience with stuff like this in your previous job?
Not a lot. Not working with outside groups that utilize the facilities with alcohol, but occasionally we, my previous employer, we had a few of those that never ran into any issues.
for the public since it's $10.
Thank you.
And then there's a thing for the ball field.
Any further questions for the petitioner? All right, we'll take up the rules. Is there a motion with regard to this item? Trustee Gingrich?
I move to approve the reservation and picnic license for Titletown Select to hold their kickball tournament in early May.
Is there a second? Trustee Dart?
Second.
Discussion? This is the kind of stuff that Al is known for, filling our parks with people having lots of fun. And we count on the good nature and the goodwill of people who use our parks, whether they're serving alcohol or not. And it sounds like you have every intention of keeping things under control. So welcome, and we hope you have a successful event.
Thank you very much.
If it passes. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item number five, action regarding the approval to fill the special equipment operator position upon the retirement of Steve Neville. Is there a motion with regard to this item? Trustee Raptor?
I would move to approve.
Is there a second? Trustee Dart seconds. Discussion? Do you want to hear from Mr. Burke?
Yes.
Right? Pretty straightforward. Mm-hmm.
Steve is planning on retiring March 1st, so this is to fill that position at that time. This is the same, taking the same approach here as we did with the last special equipment operator hire, entry-level position, entry-level salary. We'd be looking for someone, not necessarily that has much experience in our type of operations, but has experience that would be applicable to us in terms of either familiarity with equipment or having worked with equipment or having been an operator to some extent, but on the entry-level side. So that's what this is. I did include a little bit of data. It's a little dated in terms of salary, but it gives you a little bit of information on a couple of our neighbors as of a year or 2 years ago in terms of average salary for equipment operators. So that's what we're looking at. It probably would be in March sometime when we'd actually be able to bring a person on board.
Any questions? Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries. Item 6, action regarding the adoption of Ordinance 2015-01, creating Section 125.0003, relating to fermented malt beverages or intoxicating liquor on public property and commercial quadricycles. It's a typo in the ordinance. It's the only thing that I see.
Several.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Most of them were corrected this morning.
Okay.
Jim stopped in.
All right. Is there a motion with regard to this item? Trustee Raptor?
I would move to approve the ordinance while striking number 3, while on a commercial quadricycle is defined by Wisconsin Statute 340-01.
Is there a second? I will second. Discussion. Trustee Raptor?
When I first took a look at this ordinance, the first question I had was, why are we doing the ordinance? Because I'm not in favor of doing ordinances just to have ordinances. And so asked the question, and the question was because as of January 1st of 2014, there was a new Wisconsin state statute that said you can have quadricycles, commercial quadricycles, which have a street name of petty pubs, pedal pubs, as long as they don't sell beer and as long as an individual doesn't bring on more than 36 ounces of alcohol. Someone else drives the vehicle. And I just didn't think it was right that we enacted an ordinance that wasn't addressing an issue that we're not facing. And some of the issues that are on this ordinance probably makes sense. Not drinking on a public highway makes sense, or on a publicly owned parking lot where we don't want loitering and that sort of thing. We probably have laws on the books that support that anyway. We have loitering laws, I'm guessing. Right, Rick? And, you know, in drunk and disorderly, we have laws that protect us from this. So we asked, or I asked Dennis Duffy, are we doing this from a risk mitigation perspective? Are we doing it from a liability perspective? And the answer really is we're doing it because other people are doing it. Other villages have this sort of thing. And he didn't seem to be concerned about a risk mitigation or liability issue. So if we don't have a problem, which it's my understanding we don't seem to have a big problem about people hanging out in parking lots drinking or school lots or on sidewalks, we surely don't have any commercial quadricycle companies in the village. I just don't see the purpose of the ordinance. I can understand the safety aspect of it, but from the commercial quadricycle, I just think it really doesn't make any sense.
No, I agree with Jim. I mean, I've actually seen a few of these, and I think Madison was the last time I saw one. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at appropriate times and appropriate venues, I mean, I could see something like this, you know, having a positive effect during maybe Oktoberfest or something like that. I mean, I wouldn't want to see 50 of them running a standard route, you know, through the village. But, you know, once in a while, I mean, I don't see a big problem with it. And Jim said that it's not a problem now, and we may never see a quadricycle, so I don't know why we want to legislate against something that isn't a problem presently. And might have some marginal benefit, you know, depending on how activities and events are promoted within the village. So, but then I'm curious then. I mean, I get striking number three, which is on a commercial quadricycle. But then, if you can't drink from an open container on a public highway, would that then exclude quadricycles because you can't drink on a public highway? There's got to be other statutes and ordinances. I mean, you can't pop a beer in a car and drive around, and, you know, even if you're over 21 in the back seat, you can't do that. So I don't know if we got to delete number one, two. I mean, if we wanted to, you know, at least give some grace to quadricyclists to be able to do this, because, if, you know.
Well, can't you put an addendum to number one? On a public highway, including the sidewalk, except when.
Except on a commercial quadricycle.
On a commercial quadricycle.
As defined.
Yeah.
Then that'd be a fine.
Because I don't think people should be walking down the highway or the road or the sidewalk with an open container.
Oh, I agree.
I'm sorry, Trustee Darn.
A question, isn't there something else that covers walking around with an open on sidewalks? Because hasn't that been, I mean, is it, if the quadricycle, people feel that's not relevant, is the rest of it even relevant?
I thought there was, but I was talking to a few people and said there's really nothing that prevents someone from walking down the sidewalk with an open container.
I'm not sure if there's an ordinance specific to open containers on the sidewalk. The ordinance that you have that I was able to find today when I looked was specific to being drunk and disorderly in the park and drunk and disorderly in public. So not necessarily just drinking. There may be something that I didn't find. I would have to do some more research and take a closer look at the ordinances.
Currently, is only alcohol allowed in Greenow Park?
Yes.
So we have something for that. If we're not covering quadricycles, I think that was the main goal. I would almost question that we should do a little more research and see if this is even relevant.
The entire ordinance? I would agree with that.
Table it?
No.
Well, would I have to make a substitute motion to table this?
You would. And you can wait on that until
okay. For
the discussion. We could also pass it conditionally. If there is nothing on the books that currently would prevent something like open container on a public highway or sidewalk, then it would be implemented. And if there is something on the books, then it would come back to the board too.
Okay.
So that's another option if you choose to do so, Trustee Dirk.
I don't believe we could find anything in the ordinances. That's why he added some of the other...
One, two, and four?
Some of the other information on where it can, cannot. But we can table and look at the whole thing.
Do we...
Has this been an issue, I guess, is...
Yeah, do we even need the ordinance is the question.
Right.
Is it something we could deal with if someone comes forward with an interest in starting up a quadricycle service or whatever we call that?
Would they have to have a permit for that quadricycle?
It's a commercial business. They would. They'd need a business license.
Would they need any sort of permit for the speed of the vehicle on going down Webster?
Minimum speed or...
Yeah.
They go 5 miles per hour, max.
Depends who's pedaling.
Well, according
max.
According to research, that's...
Depends if they're out of beer or not.
Yeah.
Then they go faster.
Yeah, I'm not...
The ELOP knows, is there anything that would prevent them, if it even weren't a business? I suppose someone could take just a regular bike and bike 5 miles an hour on the road, right?
Off the top of my head, I would say it's not considered a motor vehicle.
Okay, Trustee Dart or Trustee Guest, sorry.
I mean, I think the ordinance has merit. If we don't have something on the books already that stops people from having an open intoxicant on a public highway or in the parks or on publicly owned property, I think we need one. I mean, I think we should keep, you know, the potential and possibility for these quadricycles to have some operation. I think maybe we table it because I would like to see some kind of a licensing, you know, protocol, because as Rick just said, I mean, they may just be treated as any bicycles. They get a bicycle license, and every Tom, Dick, and Harry can be out there with a two-seat bicycle. So, I mean, I don't want to open up some kind of crazy gate, so maybe we can just explore some kind of a licensing and permit, you know, process, and we can revoke it if people are, you know, being dangerous with these things or not being, you know, good commercial citizens if they're running these things, actually.
And the license or permit would be for the driver, right?
Correct. Whoever owns it, you know, and they have to get a license. And then we have at least some capacity to say, look, we don't think you're running a clean business. We don't think you're doing it as safely as you should, and we're going to revoke your license. I mean, I've got a problem with these things. As long as they're efficiently operated and run by, you know, good businesses, then, you know, I don't envision there's going to be a lot of these things ever, but I like the village
especially this time of year
to say, hey, you know, we don't like the way you're doing it, so no more permit. We're going to revoke your license. So I think we need to have some control over that. So maybe we need to send it back to the drawing boards to see in the cities that permit those kind of things. I suspect there's a licensing requirement or a permit fee that they got to get to do that. So I'd like to see something, you know, in our books to cover that.
Can an establishment serve alcohol outdoors in their parking lot?
Only if it's included in their premise. In their licensing description,
right,
that you approve.
Lorelei always has to get a special license to serve outside.
Right, they can't sell it all year round in their parking lot. They get the one day.
For the Oktoberfest, yeah. But in this ordinance, we're allowing sidewalk cafe, and I'm not even sure I know exactly what that is. I'm assuming it's outdoor seating in front of an establishment on the sidewalk. Would that be part of someone's permit, or are we just sort of saying, look, if you own an establishment that serves alcohol and you have a sidewalk in front of it, you can walk out this and plop a table down on the sidewalk and serve people on the sidewalk?
I'd imagine.
Trustee Harris?
I'd imagine it would have to be fenced. That would be my assumption, and other municipalities or other things that I've seen, when you have outdoor seating, when you're serving a meal that may or may not include alcohol, you're going to have a fenced area, just sort of like not that they do it, but the outdoor area of Zesty's on Green. They have it a fenced area.
Right.
So I think that's, if they had that, then it might be covered.
Was this taken from another ordinance? Is that?
He must have. This, Dennis.
I mean, I think I know what they're talking about with sidewalk cafes, but I'm not sure I understand.
The small business that you're eating.
Yeah.
Front. Mm-hmm.
I think we do have something separately for sidewalk, roadside cafes.
Do we?
I have a vague recollection that we looked at it one time. I think it had something to do with the Village Grill, maybe?
Right, they had asked about it, but that we were just going to issue them a separate permit for their weekend event that they were going to have.
Jimmy C's is outdoor seating.
Mm-hmm, that's included in their premise description as a deck.
So if a restaurant is serving alcohol and there's outside seating, they have to include that in the description?
Correct.
Okay. That makes sense.
So if this is tabled, where is it going to go?
What's going to happen next?
Friend? If this is tabled, I mean, one comment was, is it needed at all, or are there other protections already in ordinances that would make this whole thing basically moot? The second was on, part of the main motion was number 3 be stricken. Third was that except in on a quadricycle as defined, et cetera, be added to number 1 at the end. But then, and this idea of a sidewalk cafe, I'm not really sure if I understand that perfectly. If we table it, would you bring it to Dennis? Is that how it would?
I think we need to, number one, we need to identify how big are these things, too, because you may be looking at issues on sidewalks. Webster's the only sidewalk that a bicyclist can ride on. But then if you're putting these things maybe potentially on the East River Trail, how wide
is that, where they go? I thought they went on the road.
I thought they were a street.
Well,
I don't like the idea on East River Trail, that's for sure.
Exactly. So I think
that to the ordinance.
We need to look at this a little bit closer.
Okay.
I recommend look at the cities that do let these things, you know, run down the city streets, and I suspect there's a permitting process or a license process that they have to go through. I'd like to see what that might look like.
Yeah. All right, Trustee Dart, do you have any motions you'd like to make?
I would like to move to, motion to table this until we do a little more research.
I think the postponing is the...
Postponing, not tabling.
Yes. Is there a second? Trustee Harris, seconds, discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Just great.
Hopefully we won't have any problem with quadricycles.
In the next month or two.
Round on again.
Item number 7, action regarding the appointment of Wes Kornowski to the board or committee or a commission. Is Mr. Kornowski here? He has submitted an application, a quite impressive application, which includes serving in a municipality, and he has a master's in public administration. So he has quite a bit of familiarity with municipal doings, and has graciously agreed to serve on up to 3 committees, and we will take him up on his gracious offer. I would like to make a motion to appoint Mr. Kornowski to the Plan Commission, the Historic Preservation Committee, and the Economic Development Committee. Is there a second? Trustee Dennis seconds. Discussion? Trustee Harris?
With his background, I can see why we want him on these 3. Are we low on Board of Appeals? Are we missing even regular members, let alone alternates?
We have 5 regulars.
Okay.
The Board of Appeals doesn't meet very frequently.
Very seldom.
Right. I just knew we used to be.
Yeah, when you were,
yeah.
After they lost you.
We're going to be missing one at the next meeting. I mean, one can't make it, so it would be nice to have an extra one, but we do need regulars on the other committees. So.
Thank you. There's a motion and a second for the discussion.
Sorry, did you say economic development?
Mm-hmm. Economic development, yeah.
Isn't that already necessary?
Oh, we are full.
Oh, you changed that.
Uh-huh. Oh, so well, we reduced it by a member. Okay.
Yep.
Well, I will
should we
substitute the Board of Board of Appeals?
Four,
the
five.
Planning
six.
And Historic Preservation. Too.
And Penny is included, so that would be seven members then that they have. Okay.
Can you show me the email with his preferences?
The
application.
The Board of Appeals.
Okay, I would like to substitute Board of Appeals for Economic Development. Thank you, Trevor. Who seconded? The Trustee Dennis, is that right? Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item number 9, action regarding the Preble Softball Booster Club USSSA Softball Tournament. Is there a motion with regard to this item? Trustee Gans?
I'll move to approve.
Is there a second? Trustee Gendrich, seconds. Discussion? Is anyone here from that event? No.
It's their second.
Mr.
Year.
Lang, anything? Or Chris, I'm sorry. Or Brad, you know the history of it.
Brad was here last year.
This is the second year. Last year it was kind of an emergency request to utilize the facilities. They got rained out at the Finger Road facility, so they had held the tournament here last year.
And no problems. Good.
I assume it was a positive experience since they wanted to come back.
Good. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item 10, action regarding the adoption of Resolution 2015-1, the Partnership for Prosperity. Maybe they can use quadricep as part of the RPA. There are quite a few issues in this document, so. Okay. Specifically, Ms. Bainan has pointed out that they're asking each community to pass a similar resolution and to share that resolution with their state legislators and the governor. So if we were to pass the resolution tonight, it would go on to some of our elected officials. Is there a motion with regard to this item? I had a question. Didn't have time to look up. A GTA? Brad, do you know what a GTA is? Increased funding for GTA or modify the GTA distribution formula? Government is G? Okay.
I know.
Trustee Raptor?
Item B, the tie levy limits to the rate of inflation. Isn't that, I thought that's something that we had talked about during budget time where we're only allowed, not that we look to raise taxes, but we're limited by the amount of increase in revenue based on the net new
right.
development in the village, and this
they're recommending that it be not the net new revenue, but the new revenue, which would have addressed the issue that we talked about during budgets.
And to tie it to the rate of inflation.
So. Right.
Even under the current definition, we haven't had a problem, I don't think. But I agree with some flexibility. For not every municipality is the same. And I don't think we should be penalized for tearing down old buildings and only going on the net.
Yeah.
Is there a motion with regard to this item? Trustee Gass.
I'll move the adoption of resolution 2015-1.
Is there a second? Trustee Dart.
I'll second.
Discussion? Trustee Gass.
Well, this resolution and partnership for prosperity does cover quite a few different issues. But I read through each of these, and as Jim alluded to, the tax limit or levy limit issue with inflation, I think that benefits a community like ours and recognizes that not all communities are the same and ties it to something that's a little more standard like inflation. But as I read through a lot of these other issues, it seems to me to be an effort by the League of Municipalities to at least regain some control and authority and momentum at the local municipality level, because over the last several years, a lot of local control has been withdrawn and put into the state's hands. So I think, at least in part, this resolution and the partnership for prosperity tries to regain a little bit of ground and have local municipalities recognized as having authority and that the state should work with local municipalities to do what benefits the state and local community, local municipalities, which is economic development and jobs and those kind of things. I think that this resolution puts in context the vital and important role that local villages and cities, play in that process. So that's why I'm in favor of the resolution.
Even in terms of counties, too. I mean, some of the funding and the resources and the rights sort of end at the county level, and I think Trustee Gass is right. This is an attempt to sort of push them even further, deeper down to the local level. I also like the idea of it focusing on on putting the money where the people are. Some of these statutes have transportation money going to roads in the country that nobody uses, and that to me doesn't make a lot of sense. You want to put the money where the people are traveling and where economic development is happening. So I too agree with the resolution. Trustee Dart, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, I think that a lot of this partnership for prosperity is follows along with what we're trying to do in the village right now. So with the TIF district and our economic development and the way we use our funds, I think a lot of it supports where we're going.
Trustee Rafferty.
This is more of a question, but when I was reading through this, it seemed to me that they were suggesting that too much money is going to rural areas versus the local. Does that seem to be the issue? Mm-hmm.
Some of them, yeah. The GTA, I think the GTA distribution formula, that was one that I think I remember where a lot of the money was going to places where the roads aren't really being utilized very much. Or maybe it was the local road improvement program. One of the things. Yes, Trustee Harris.
Historically, how many types of these resolutions do we see, or do they have a positive effect as they're passed? Do we see action on them?
It's a good question. I don't know if they have an effect or not.
I think any time you put some of this in front of enough people's eyes, it has an effect. I mean, how much that effect is, who knows? They are our lobbying group, basically, so one of their charges is to speak to the best interests of the municipalities, so I guess we can trust that that's what a lot of this is all about.
I've always been of the opinion, though, if you write some sort of letter and attach it to the resolution, it gives the sense that you're not just sort of signing off because all your neighboring municipalities have. Mr. Byrne?
These organizations do have a positive impact. There's two that we belong to that have had activities that have benefited us. The Municipal Environmental Group is one, and this Act 274 later on in the agenda is one that the Municipal Environmental Group got involved in, and they kind of changed the state's approach and protected some of our rights in terms of property tax liens, which we would have lost for rental properties. So that was a positive one. And then we belong to NUSC, Northeast Wisconsin Stormwater Consortium, and they actually sit with the DNR and work with them on drafting legislation on the technical side. So that organization has a couple of engineering consultants that work with the state, the DNR, on the regulatory side, and it has worked to our benefit. So it costs us some money, but we're getting a payback in terms of things that benefit us.
I'm convinced that the League of Municipalities benefits us, too. I'm just not sure I know of a specific example where a resolution was circulated, was developed and circulated by the League, and it definitely had an impact. I can't say that I know a specific case, but I'm convinced that it helps. Mr. Lane?
Just to bring up one other resolution that we had passed a couple months ago in regards to the sex offenders, that is going to be addressed after the first of the year. Well, it is the first of the year. The League will be addressing that at one of the meetings as well. So that was one that was brought to this board.
That's where one where we don't want local control, and they're giving it to us. All right. Do we have a motion and a second?
Yes.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item 11, action regarding the appraisal and zoning of the water building on Green Avenue. Is there a motion with regard to this item?
Can we hear from Brad first?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Unless there are objections, we'll suspend the rule. Mr. Lane.
I did put a little memo on your today. Basically, what we're doing is the building back in 2008, through board action, was to go ahead and sell it. And it's been sitting there. It was just never active. There is some possibilities in the very near future that it could be sold, so therefore we would like the Plan Commission to zoning and planning to look at it for proper zoning and to get an appropriate appraisal of the facility as well. The only cost we have on the property is for insurance purposes. So we don't have an appraisal for the facility.
Okay. Is there an interested buyer?
Potentially, yes.
Great, thank you.
Historical, where we have with that? Register, whatever?
Maine. It goes before the review board in Maine.
Okay. So it may be, there may be some strings attached to what a buyer could or couldn't do.
Okay. Any further questions or discussion? Thank you, Brent. Okay, we'll take up the rules. Is there a motion with regard to this item? I will move to proceed with an appraisal and zoning of the water building on Green Avenue. Is there a second? Trustee Genrich. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item 12A from the Public Works meeting from December 11th. The Safe Drinking Water Main Project Budget Update for submittal to the WDNR. What do you want done with this, Craig?
It needs to be, I have the original copy here. It needs to
this
be
needs
signed
to be approved
on the bottom by you and David. That's
just sent on. Okay. Is there a motion with regard to 12A? Trustee Rafter?
I would move to approve the changes to the budget for the Safe Drinking Water Loan Program.
Is there a second? Trustee Gass, seconds. Discussion? Trustee Rafter?
I met with Craig and talked to him about this earlier. I missed our last committee meeting. And when I looked at the two spreadsheets, my main concern was that we were replacing the $12,000 that we would be spending to do the inspection work with $57,000 to hire a contractor. And we talked through that, and when Craig first put these numbers together, he thought we'd be able to use some summer help supervised by a full-time employee. And with the projects that we have going on, he doesn't think that's feasible, so he put in the dollars for the engineers, outside engineers. I said I would approve it, but I would surely ask, this is just for budget purposes, so I would surely ask and encourage that we do anything we can to reduce those engineering costs, and if we do have the opportunity to do it in-house, I would suggest we do so. My concern was that we were asked, because we were saving money on a redesign of the bridge, that we were saying, okay, we could take that money now and apply it to something else. And Craig has assured me that that is not the case, that this is just for budget purposes and getting loan approval. We only get what we actually spend. So we're not going to get necessarily the $2.379 million. So I'm good with that.
Thank you. Anything further? Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. 12A, discussion regarding Act 274 Tenant Landlord Delinquent Bill legislation. Mr. Burnt, do you want to?
Yeah, I wanted to bring this forward so that you're aware of it as a board, because you may run into questions about it, and this will give you the background information to be able to address questions from residents. There's a little package of information, and at your leisure go through that. It kind of covers all the details, but the bottom line of this is 2 years ago there was a movement by landlords through a couple of their organizations to eliminate the ability for a municipality to put a utility bill on a tax lien at the year end to recover delinquent bills. And the organizations that we talked about before, MEQ and some other ones, got involved in this, and we actually submitted some statements as well. The bottom line of what happened is the legislature came up with an agreement between all the parties. Basically what it is, as of this January 1, a landlord has the right to be notified of a delinquent bill. And that's a requirement that's placed on us, a delinquent bill by a tenant, if the property has a water meter in each apartment. And if the landlord notifies us that he is a landlord, these are his properties, these are the names of his tenants, and that he wants to receive notification. So the process that we put in place, there's a letter here, this is what we sent out to all the tenants within the village and all the landlords. And there's probably 35 or 40 that have got back to us already that want to be on this list. If a tenant has a delinquent bill and they're on that list, we have to notify the landlord within 14 days of delinquency that the tenant is delinquent, and then that preserves our right at year end. If the bill's not paid, we can place the deficiency on a tax lien. So this is the process we have to go through for properties that have individual water meters. If it's a property that has one water meter that serves a whole apartment complex, this law does not apply. We preserve our right for tax lien. There's no special notification required. but this is for the individual properties with individual meters. So this is something we will have to monitor closely, and when we see a delinquent bill, we'll have to notify that landlord within 14 days. So that is something that we're going to have to pay attention to in the water utility side of our work. There's one other thing that we did not implement, but I'll make you aware of it, because we may implement it in the future, but with this Act 274, there is not a requirement for us to provide a deferred payment agreement to a tenant. That was deleted. Before, we had to provide that under Public Service Commission rules. At this point, we do not. So if a tenant is in arrears, we don't have to go through the notification process to collect. We can simply notify them and shut off their water service until the bill's paid. But we're not go through the bill, the deferred payment agreement. We're not going to implement that at this point. I don't think that that's our. I think we're better off to take this step, see how it all works, give it a year. If we need to take the next step, we would consider that at that point and make a decision here whether we wanted to do that. But just to be aware that that is out there. There's not a requirement for us to provide deferred payment agreements in the future. But anyway, that's what this is. This is a new requirement. It went into effect January 1. We have the process in place. I included the article from BEG, their legal opinion on how we should proceed. By the way, Lori Copsa, the legal counsel for MEG, is also our attorney for the Central Brown County Water Authority. And then I included our notification letter that went to all tenants and landlords within the village. And it's received positive response from the landlords. And we have tried to keep them informed of things that were going on. The last 2-3 years, we corresponded with the landlords so that they were more up to date on our processes for bill collection and so forth, and that has been a positive thing for us in terms of working with landlords from the water utility standpoint. This has also received positive response. A number of landlords have called and thanked us for putting this in place and informing them and working with them to help, because they want to make sure their tenants are current on their bills, and this will help them ensure that. So what will ultimately happen, I think, is that landlords will include utility bills in their RAP and then pay us directly. I think that's the direction it will go. But this does help us with our delinquent bill program as well, keeping that current. So that's what this is all about. It's a little bit complicated, but take the time to glance over it, and it'll give you a good feeling for this new regulation that we'll be following.
Craig, is that consistent with, you know, we had a couple situations last year with, they were not landlord or tenant, it was property owners that were paying their water bill at the end of the year with their taxes? Has that been resolved? Is this consistent with practice?
It is consistent with that. This actually helps us on the rental property side. This helps us.
Right.
Because it was a difficult thing to collect a delinquent bill on a rental property. This helps us. On the private property side, residential landowner side, that process is in place, and it is working, and it has brought down our accounts receivables. At the end of last year, we did have some that were outstanding, and they all went on the tax liens. So it brought that number down. I think that this year we'll see a further improvement. I felt all along it was going to take 2 to 3 years for this process to really get to where we wanted to be, and I think it probably will. But we are much more current on the receivables, which is good.
Good, thanks.
Any further discussion on that item? Thank you, Craig. We will take items 13A through E, unless there are objections. Is there a motion with regard to the consent agenda items 13A through E? Trustee Harris?
I move that we approve the operator licenses, the election inspectors, approve the village board minutes, accept and place on file the minutes from the Planning Commission and Economic Development Committee, and approve the accounts payable information dated from November 26th through December 26th.
Is there a second? Trustee Gederich seconds. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries. Item 14, update or report on the selection for the recodification services. Mr. Fuller.
So we received two bids from two different companies interested in doing the codification services for us. One of them was Marshall Clifford. She's with General Code. She came to speak on the board this fall. Both companies, General Code and Muni Code is the other company, they both came in around the same not to exceed price. And their annual fees were around the same price as well. The services they offered were pretty much the same as well. What it came down to, the staff did review both services, and we did decide to go forward with General Code, and that was just because of the process. Process takes about 2 years to go through, and it's very labor-intensive, and the way General Code has laid out their process, it's really user-friendly and really gets us involved as best as possible.
Can you remind me what the costs are? I remember being surprised at how inexpensive it was. As we had heard years before that it was, you know, $100,000 plus, and this is not that, right?
Right. It's, I believe General Code came in at like $15,240. And Muni Code was just a few hundred dollars after that. So.
And then there's an annual fee, right?
There's an annual fee. General Code, it's $1,200. That's to update the, or keep current the website component to it. It also includes all updates to our codes. Muni Code was about $700, and that includes the web component. But then they charge per ordinance we update. So going off of our annual average, it would have been about the same.
Okay. It's going to be really nice.
I agree.
We won't be asking the questions. Don't we have something,
on the books
with regard to that? Yeah. Someone could be looking it up on a computer as we speak, so it would be nice. Sorry, someone wanted to speak. Trustee Rapp?
I have a question on that. When our ordinance refers back to a state statute, will the new system have a link back to the state statute that it refers to?
It will, yes.
Okay.
Trustee Harris?
I was just working off the assumption we'll be able to do multiple word searches, things like if we wanted to look for ordinances that contain the word sidewalk and alcohol, we'll be able to do something like that right off the bat, correct?
That's correct.
Recycle.
You'll be able to email certain sections to different people, and both websites services were, you know, pretty comparable, and it's both definitely an upgrade from what we had.
What we have is Debbie looking up ordinances. What are you saying?
We just did that this
morning. Do we have a timeline established yet from them?
We'll likely start negotiating or going through the contract services. Probably start within the next month or so. The process will probably take up to 2 years.
Wow.
And those come back to us, right? They'll find inconsistencies and we'll have to make decisions about which way we want to go, and right?
Correct.
Right. General Code.
So the two-year part might be partly our fault and not their fault, right? Because we'll have to make some decisions that might not be easy to make.
Right. And that was the part that we liked about General Code, is they had like an ABC option for us. So they have different options they lay out if we want to change something.
Okay.
And obviously we can go beyond that if we want to. But
they have recommendations or options.
Yeah.
Okay. Trustee Harris.
One more, then I'm done. Do they foresee us being able to use it as it's being built? So let's say when they're 33% of the way through the ordinances, we'll have access to that, or will it take them completing all of them before we have this access?
Good question.
Well, we all agree. Motion passes. That's a good question.
I second that.
I believe we have to wait 4 years.
I would think they would have to wait till they're all
done. I don't
know if
we flip the switch or if they can do it in a modular approach and take it as we go.
Right. Debbie and I went to a presentation back in August, I think it was, and I believe they covered that, but I cannot remember what Marcia said they did. But I can find that out.
Perfect. Thank you.
Anything further? Trustee Raptor?
Not on the codification, on something else.
Okay. Is there something else on the agenda?
There was. I forgot to
you
talk
forgot,
about
okay.
it.
Is there anything else?
Is there anything else
on the recodification? Thanks for the work on that. All right, we will suspend the rules and go somewhere back on the agenda. I'm dying to hear
Thank
where.
You. Well, I hate to ask people to do things and then ignore what they did. So earlier I asked Craig to print off this map that you've got on your... So that project of $2.3 million, the red lines that are highlighted and encircled in black are the streets that are going to be done with this $2.3 million. And those...
The cast iron.
And you see all those little red dots, which I'm assuming are the breaks that have taken place. And I just thought, that's really helpful if someone's asking us, what are we spending the money on?
Right.
So thank you, Craig.
Thanks for remembering.
That doesn't sound healthy, does it?
I'm assuming we get rid of that one. The asbestos cement.
Yeah.
Is there a motion to adjourn, Trustee Raptor, second Trustee Dart, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We're adjourned.